Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Good to be seen. Good to be able to see. Good to be able to feel the temperature. Amen. I know we like to complain about the weather, but you should be thankful that you can feel it. Because there's some people that just can't feel things like that. I know where I was at before, my pastor's son-in-law had a diving accident, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And we were standing back in the sound booth, and he was sitting up in the front in his chair. And the gentleman that was back there with me, he leaned over to me. He says, "Man, I'm sorry." He's like, I often complain about things. And he's like, "Andrew would love to be able to get up and just do half the things that I do." So just be thankful for what you've been given. Thankful for what you have. I know as we mature in life, our range of motions tends to reduce greatly. Amen. Amen. And sometimes injuries, old injuries, don't help much. You get to join part of the Itis family. Arthur will come visit you quite often. Amen. It's a joy for y'all to be here. I know we've got some visitors here. Pastor Carter is out of town. He's normally the one that teaches the adult Sunday school. And we're a little thin this week. Just a lot of people's out of town and out visiting. I mean, I think it's okay that you go and visit with your family. But if you go away, make sure you find you a church. When I always go off, that's one of the first things I look for before I ever leave. I'm trying to find me a church that we can go to and go there. I've listened to, sometimes we get into a rut, so to say. I pray that you don't get into a vain ritual routine of just showing up to church. But when you go off, visit a church. And when you get back home, I pray that you're thankful for what you have, or maybe you'll be praying that the church that you're in will get more excited about things, because not everybody is as busy as Landmark. I mean, if you want to see how busy it is, come join in with them, and I promise you, they'll put your hands to the work. Amen? That's what it's all about. We just want to be a willing, usable vessel. God's given us talents. Each of us have a different talent, a different ability, a different skill. But the Bible talks about us being fitly joined together, right? So it takes each one of us. Not everybody can be the foot, all right? Everybody wants to be the brain, but not everybody can be the brain, all right? Some of us want to be the eye. Most of us want to be the ear, because we want to hear everything, all right? We want to hear what's going on and know. Turning your Bibles with me to Philippians this morning, chapter 1. It was a great Bible conference that we had, the Spanish Bible conference. It was very interesting Monday night. Found out that AI needs to go back to Spanish school, because he don't translate English or Spanish into English well at all. But it was a trial run for us, and they say that it really works well going from Spanish back to English. No, English to Spanish. Yeah, there you go. I get it right one way or the other. And then Tuesday night, Brother Daniel Bentoncourt, after he got done leading the songs, he went upstairs. And he translated, and Brother Sam preached a great message. I really enjoyed all of them, even though I didn't understand a lot of it. I even would pull up during the day and just kind of look and listen to him doing some teaching and just hearing a few Spanish words here that I recognize and some I didn't. So I pull out my Google Translate and, oh, that's what that word means. And then, you know, but listen, just to understand that as English-speaking people, we've got the Word of God in our hand, okay? There's many other so-called versions out there that they don't line up. Listen, don't take my word for it. Check it out yourself. NIV has three prints, and they don't agree with each other. Now, how can you say that's the Word of God if you have the same version, but they don't agree with each other, all right? So for them to have a desire, someone to have the passion to say, "Whoa, this ain't right," and to stand up and say, "We're going to fix this." Brother Gomez, he preached a powerful message Monday night. And then I had picked up one of his Bibles. He told me to get it and just bring him the money later. So I stopped by Tuesday morning, and I walked in the cafeteria, and I'm looking around for him, and I don't see him. And I'm like, well, maybe he's inside the church. So I asked Brother Correa. I'm like, hey, where's Brother Gomez at? He's like, oh, he's in the hospital. So now I had to pause and think for a second. I'm like, did I call the right name? You know, I'm looking around here. I'm thinking, did I get the right name? And I'm like, what you mean? So he had some blockages, and they had to fly him out that morning. And they took him to the urgent care, and they life-flighted him right then. He was in the hospital for a day. He had a couple blockages. He got out, and he showed up here Wednesday night. So what the whole conference was about the translation of the Bible. And he's telling the doctors, he's like, what you going to do to me? He's like, I'm going to church. He still got some more to take care of, but he went home. They drove home Wednesday night. He had somebody drive him. And just to see the passion that they have for the Word of God, these men, they love it. And they want to get it to their people, right? They're thankful for what they called an American missionary that went to their people to go share the gospel with their people. Amen? And that's what we should be doing also ourselves. But Brother Sam was preaching about Paul. And I don't know how many of us read a lot about Paul, but man, Paul was that was an awesome guy right there. I mean, think about this. He got stoned. As he said that night, he got stoned, and he turned and walked right back in where he got stoned from. Listen, if we get yelled at the front door, we don't want to go back to the people's house, right? We almost want to tell them, well, just burn in, you know? That's kind of how our flesh gets. But Paul wasn't that way. He was totally, totally different. And he just got a hold of the truth of the gospel, and he let it get a hold of him. You know, his testimony, he was persecuting the church. He was totally against the church. He was dead in his trespasses and sin, as many of us were at one point in time in our life. But yet, when he had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a total, listen to me now, a total change. It wasn't a flippant, partial change. It was a total change. And my brother-in-law was telling me about, he heard this preacher say that he was watching. He said it was almost like Paul was on a death mission. Like he was just on a suicide mission. Just kill me. What are you going to do to me? He already went to heaven, seen some things that was unlawful for him to talk about. Listen, if you read a book or somebody tells you they've been to heaven, the Bible says that's a lie. Because even Paul says there was things that he saw that was unlawful for him to speak about. That's in Holy Writ. That's in Scripture. We have so many people that say, well, I had a dream. I went to heaven, and I died, and here, you know, it's none of them went to hell and came back. Right? It's always they went to heaven. Everybody says they're going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven, right? Amen. I want to look at a little word here in the passage of Scripture. I know a lot of people have a life verse. I can't say I have one. There's too many verses that as I read, if you look at my Bible, I highlight and underline and asterisk and star and all this. And I'm like, man, that's good. You know, man, that one's good right there. But this one here is one that I like to use. If any of the kids ask me to sign their Bible, I'll put this verse down. You know, if I sign a Bible for somebody that's getting married or a card or whatever, I may put this down. But I'm going to back up a few verses here and look, because this caught my attention quite some time ago. Paul's here writing to the church of Philippi. He's in prison right now. Now, if we were in prison, how happy would we be? Honestly, we would probably be grumbling and griping. Think about this. If you read this word and hide it in your heart, And we get to a point where when we share the gospel that we do get locked up. Notice they had their crazy demonstrations this weekend. They don't want God in the world. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want a king, they say. Right? Well, Trump's not a king. But if you'll think back in the Old Testament, they wanted a king too. They got what they wanted. But it wasn't what they wanted. See, sometimes we can ask for things, and then when we get it, then we're like, oh, no, this is not what I wanted. So be careful what you ask for. But be ready to receive it. But Paul's here is locked up in prison. He's wrote many letters. He's trying to encourage the people. He sees the need. That should be our vision. We should see the need to encourage people and to help people, not to put people down. All right, I just heard a story about a kid yesterday that the parents won't let him come back to church because this happened off. It ain't got nothing to do with the church, all right? So don't get caught up there. It was at school, I think. And another kid that comes to teen church got in a fight with this kid. And because that kid comes, the parents of this kid don't want their kid to come. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful in everything that we do, everywhere we go, all right? We're to be holy. We're to be separated. I know that's an ugly word in today's time frame. People don't like to separate. When you separate yourself, people look at you kind of funny. Oh, you think you're better than me? No, I don't. I'm just not going to get involved in anything that can, listen, anything that we should be discerning enough to say if there's anything that could possibly cause someone to trip and fall because of me, I don't want to do it. I want to stay away from it, okay? I understand it's not evil to walk into a bar. But the Bible says to refrain from the very appearance of evil, okay? You have a young Christian just got saved, they ride by and they see you walk out the bar. I mean, unless you're dragging somebody out with you. I don't know. I've heard of people being called to go drag somebody out of the bar, right? Just make sure that you're not bloody too. I don't mean unless he puts up a fight, you know what I'm saying? So, but we got to be very cautious of how we live our life. Now, we don't walk around on pins and needles, but I'm just telling you, if we'll read the Word of God, we will see the importance of how we live, of how we talk, of how we dress, how we act, where we go. Think about this. When we put things on, we should ask this. Would I be okay to wear this to church? It would probably change our dress code a little bit. All right? I know we don't like to get on dress code. But if you go back in the Old Testament, the priests were given specific garments to wear. Okay? So, the Lord does say that you're a peculiar people, separated. Okay? We should be unto holy things. But Paul here is writing this letter. And notice here in verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He's saying, whether I live or I die, Christ is going to be exalted. Because think about this. We don't, you know, we hate it when we lose a family member, okay? I'm just going to tell you, when my mama passed, man, I stood over there and I smiled at everybody that was coming in because some of them didn't know what they were walking into. Some of them was fixing to hear the gospel for the first time, right? And I knew that. That's what I was excited for. I know where she's at. And if you trust the Lord, the Bible tells you of the hope that you can have to know, not to think, not to, well, I don't know. No, you may know, 1 John 5:13. And the gospel should be given out. I've heard it said before, a funeral is not a place to give the gospel. Well, don't ask me to do your services then. Because that's what I'm going to give. Amen? That's what I want given at mine. Look at verse 21. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Think about that. Him dying, he's going to gain. You say, how can he gain? He's losing your family. You're gaining something more greater than anything that you'll ever imagine on the face of this earth. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. Watch this. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He's caught in a mix here. And this should be the same thought process that we have. He's in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to go into heaven, to see heavenly things, to meet his Savior. Right? And to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That should be our mentality in our family. We should have a desire to go to heaven, but we should understand that it's more needful that if we don't go, that we need to stay busy, living the life that we need to live. Let's continue on. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Remember, he's locked up in prison. He don't know what's going to happen. In his mind, he's coming to see him again. He wants to go and see them again. Think about that. You go out and you win somebody to the Lord, you don't ever want to see them again? No, you should have that desire when you win them to the Lord that you want them to come to the house of God. Or you want them to open their door to you that you can go to their house and open the Bible and begin to teach them and disciple them and show them the way. Thus saith the Lord, not my opinion. All right? Verse 27 is where I wanted to get. I love this verse. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, if that ain't powerful, I don't know what it is. Your conversation, right? That's our lifestyle. All right? It says general course of manners, behavior, especially in as it respects morals, keeping company, intimate fellowship or association, commerce and social life, knowledge of men and manners is best acquired by conversation with the best company. You look in Proverbs, it'll tell you about who you keep company with. Look at this, familiar discourse, general intercourse of sentiments, chat, unrestrained talk. In our conversation, in our lifestyle, all right, and the things that we say, let's continue on. It says, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It doesn't say to strive amongst each other. If you remember back in Genesis, when Abraham and Lot separated, there was no strife. If you'll read it, there was no strife between Abraham and Lot. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. Okay? As brethren, we should not strive against one another. Just be honest with you. We're human beings. We're going to possibly say things that's going to not come off right. We're not going to agree on everything. I know everybody don't agree with me, and I'm fine with that. But we can all still get along. But notice there at the beginning of that verse, it says, only let your, this is personal, your conversation. The theme for the teens right now is personal. It's a personal fight. Okay, everything that we go through in life, it's a personal battle, okay? Yes, there's people that can join in with us in prayer, but it's still your personal battle. It's still your personal walk that you have to walk through. We don't want to go through any trials, tribulations. We don't want to go through any of that. But if we never go through trials and tribulations, we never grow. We never learn to trust Him. We never learn to lean on His Word. You know why? Because we've never been tested. Right, we learn things in class, and then you take a test. Well, that's to see how much you learned. So our trials and tribulations, we look at them as tests from things that we've learned. Use the Scriptures. Let the Scripture encourage us. Man, this stuff was written down for our admonition, okay? God didn't write this and have this book printed and put out so it can be an ornament on our coffee table, all right? The pages should get worn on this thing. The song says, my dad was held together by a book falling apart. And he ain't talking about a Chilton's manual neither. He's talking about the Word of God. We should devour this thing. It's the bread of life. We should get in there and just learn everything that we can. Because we never know who we're going to need to help. And our testimony is going to be the most powerful. The way we live our life. Firmly, okay? People's not always going to like your firm stand on things, but if you stay consistent, don't waver. When you waver, that's when people lose respect for you. For me, if I have something I'm standing on, I'm going to say, let me show you why I stand on this, okay? Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, But really, you're getting mad at the Word of God, because this is the reason why I'm standing. Okay, I take a stand on my lifestyle, on the places that I go. I've said this many a times. If there's weddings, I don't really like an outdoor wedding. I'm not putting people down for having one. I'd rather have one in the church because I feel safe most of the time. Depends on what church you're going to. Amen. I know when we have a wedding here with our people, I'm safe. I can stay for the refreshments afterwards. I'm safe. But when they have them outdoor weddings, you normally have them people, they got their little alcohol they want to bring in. You know, because they all want to run back to John chapter 2, you know, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, and they take that. They have no idea what they're talking about, okay? You cannot show me one good thing alcohol has ever done. It destroys families. Little kids are destroyed from it. Families are destroyed from it. Lives are destroyed from it. I don't know. Just things like that. But I don't go to, most of the people, they know me. If they give me an invitation, they'll let me know if there's alcohol going to be at the afterwards. And, you know, I come to your wedding, but then I got to go after that. Now, if I get there and there's alcohol, I'm probably leaving beforehand. I'm just sorry about that. You may not like that, but I'm not going to be around it. You may not think this is important. You know, Facebook's been around for a long time before it ever got digital. It was called the National Enquirer. Yeah, everybody buy that stupid thing at the thing so they can read everybody's business. That's about what Facebook is today. But just in case y'all don't know this, everybody that has Facebook, they go around taking pictures, posting everything up. So you get caught in an area. Trust me, I've been to a place where I spent my time looking for the cameraman the whole time, because I didn't want my picture to be up. Because here's the thing, how can you stand and teach and preach something, and you believe something, and then you let someone see something different? Now they're going to say, wait a second here. And then they're not going to put any faith in you. Then they'll never listen to you because you've changed. All right? Just stick with the book. It's simple. Jesus stuck with the book. Paul stuck with the book. I mean, we have examples to see that, you know, it's not going to be this everybody loves you. But those that do love you, they really love you. You go and you get those. Like Brother Bentoncourt was very thankful for Brother Wiebe and Brother Hipley. Faithful. They brought him in on the bus. He rode the bus in here. Him and his family. Now look where they're at. And we say running the buses ain't important. Get on them buses. I tell you what, I challenge you to get up one morning. Get with a bus worker. Go ride you a bus one Sunday morning. You may come in a little bit sweaty. It's all good. It won't hurt you. I sweat every day, and it ain't changed me none. I'm still just as ugly as I always been. Amen? But we see here our conversation is very important. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That is so powerful. That our lifestyle, the things that we do, the things that we say, the life that we live, it should be as if someone has opened the Bible to 1 Corinthians 15 and read about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can we say when we go out into the public that our lifestyle is that? Not always, because we get to a restaurant and you know, the poor waitress there, she's only bringing your food. The cook in the back's the one chewing it up. And then we're mad at her. We're chewing her out. We're ugly with her. And then we want to say at the end, will you come join us at church? You think she's going to come? Absolutely not. Because they're going to say, well, if that's how we act. Dr. Pitts was telling a story about when his wife got into a wreck out there on Power Line, and the lady got out and just cussed Miss Pitts out one side and up and down the other and just was irate and mad. And they got a hold of Dr. Pitts. He got there. And when he got there, then all of a sudden the lady wanted to pray for him. I got Bible verse for that. I don't want you to pray for me. All right, go to Proverbs. He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You know, we look at the homosexual lifestyle and we put them down, but just that word abomination is powerful. But our conversation, think about this. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If I've received Christ and I'm saved and Christ lives in me, am I letting Christ live out of me, or am I letting the flesh take over? All right? I say this, I've heard this said, claim the name of Jesus, don't shame the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, let's not put a shame on him, because when we try and get him to see Jesus, it's just like Israel looked at Moses. They looked at Moses like Moses was God. If you go and read anywhere through the scriptures, they're always, well, Moses, they point back to Moses. Always pointing back to Moses. Well, Moses in the law said this. Well, Moses did this. Well, Moses said this. All right, so let us have that bold testimony. Paul tells us that, you know, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. I believe that's in 1 Corinthians 11 there. So could we have that testimony? You know, a lot of times we'll say, don't follow me, follow Christ. No, take the bold stand. Lock yourself in. I'm going to lock myself in that the way that I live, right, I will tell them, follow me. In the military, that's what the drill sergeant says. He says, follow me. We say, lead the way, drill sergeant, right? And that should be the same kind of picture there. We should be able to say, follow me, and they say, lead the way, right? They should follow in our steps. But remember, Ezekiel 33 talks about being a watchman, and if we don't warn them that their blood is going to be on our hands, but if we warn them and they don't listen, their blood's on their own hands. So read the Bible, think about some of this stuff, let it set into our hearts, that way we can be more discerning, we can be locked into the scriptures, we can live that life. Look what he says there, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. He's saying whether I get to come back and see you again, whether I leave this world, or whether I'm still here in this prison, he wants to hear of the affairs. Think about the testimonies that we receive back from the missionaries when they come. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear good testimonies from them. The missionaries are out there. They're living a good life, good, solid conversation that presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're winning souls to Christ. They come back here. They give a report. Man, it gets you excited for a little while. You're like, man, they're doing a good work. We should do the same thing here. We should... Think about that. They're going to just a total foreign world. It's becoming a foreign world here where we're at. So many people's moving in. I've seen some more houses being built this morning as I was out. Had the opportunity and the privilege to drive the red bus today and was going out towards Poinciana and just seeing more houses going up out that way. So just be ready. We got more traffic coming. We got more cars, more people to witness to, a better testimony to live. You know, the world is out there protesting and giving their opinion, okay? So why can't we give our opinion? Why don't we live and wear our opinion every day instead of picking one day to say, hey, we're going to go hold signs up, right? Let's let our conversation always be about the gospel of Jesus Christ and everything that we do and everything that we say and everywhere that we go, because we don't know who's watching, okay? You never know. Little kids watching, these teenagers in the back watching you, there could be people in this auditorium watching you. What are they thinking of you? And my time is up, brother. I'm going to get fired. Amen. 6:54 on a good hot summer day. Amen. A few minutes, about 9 minutes, and we'll get the morning service started.